dearly beloved. We are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. And if the elevator tries to break you down, go crazy, punch a higher floor.
You're tuned to KDWA AM 1460, FM 97.7, and it's another segment of Community In-Depth. I'm your host for this segment, Mike Rood, and I have with me on the phone today Dr. Jeff Peshta, the interim superintendent of Hastings Public Schools, and we'll be talking about school as it relates to the coronavirus outbreak. Good morning, Dr. Peshta. How are you doing today?
Mike, I talked to you yesterday.
Yes, sir, you did.
Okay, somehow I walked away after getting connected with you with Dan on my mind. I was supposed to call Dan this morning, so I apologize for all that, but you know, there's a lot of different things going on right now.
The situation is fluid, as they say.
It is fluid, exactly. So I'm glad I'm talking to the right person now. And you actually know what I'm talking about, which Dan didn't even know why I was calling in, so so we got that all figured out. Anyway, we did have that emergency meeting last night, and I just want to make myself available to our local media if I can help with getting news out there about school operations and all this uncharted territory here
right.
That we have.
So, what was the outcome of the meeting?
Well, the purpose of the meeting was to make sure that our school board was fully aware of what the plan was that we were developing, because we received the executive order from Governor Walz on Sunday, and that really changed where we had left things off on Friday. You know, we were preparing for multiple contingencies. Well, then on Sunday it became, this is your order and you must do these things. So we started working with the staff that we had available, some of our leadership team and staff that were planning to be working during the spring break, because we were on spring break. You know, obviously this week it was the spring break that was scheduled for Hastings. So we began working on preparing to put things into action to respond to that executive order, and our school board was following our messages and things like that as they would go about the rest of their life. And we just wanted to make sure that before we really started heavily communicating the actual plan and the details of the plan, that the board was fully informed on what the plan was, that they had a chance to ask questions, and that they could modify the plan if there were things that were not covered by the state and not funded by the state, but they thought were important to make sure that we were providing what our community needs. So that was the first part. The second part of the meeting, I guess the first part was informing them. The second part was kind of going through, did they want to make any suggestions for modifications and things like that. Anything in the executive order is obviously something that the board can't undo, but they were really looking at, is there anything else that they can do to fill in the gap? So that was the first two agenda items. And then the final agenda item was the board just looking at their board operations, because there are statutes that govern how they can meet as an elected body, and all that has become more flexible with this executive order. And so they went over the guidance from the Minnesota School Boards Association as far as what their options are for meeting, and they decided that their upcoming meetings that they have on Tuesday and Wednesday, one is a special meeting in regarding superintendent search, and Wednesday is their regular board meeting. So they will we'll determine that today, they'll most likely be meeting at a lecture room in the high school that has has excellent video capabilities, so that any board members who prefer not to come in and meet in person will be able to interface with any of those that choose to come into the meeting. So they're going to have some flexible rules on how they do the meeting. And, of course, if the public did come to the meeting or wanted to participate in the meeting, they could do it through video, or they could come to the lecture hall and spread out in the much larger room. So that was the outcome on that. And kind of the big thing is I really want to be out there promoting some of the key parts of the district's plan that we have. We'll be releasing that on our website today. We'll be sending messages home to parents, but the general public won't always, key into those sources of information. So We want to also make it available to the general public because they'll see buses running around, they'll see what the kids are doing, and it's good for them to be aware of that kind of stuff too.
All right, and then so what are some of the particulars on the plan that you can share with us?
So there's really three major parts, and two of them begin on March 23rd, so that's this coming Monday when our school was set to resume before we went on this executive order to be closed. And then the third part will begin March 30th. If nothing changes, we'll be beginning distance learning on March 30th. So the first part of us complying with the executive order is that we are providing school-age child care, and per the executive order and based on the organization of the Hastings Public Schools, that means kindergarten to age 12. So kindergarten to age 12, anybody that is a child of an emergency worker, and we have a link on our website. It goes to the Minnesota Department of Education and State of Minnesota's website where they classify who emergency workers are. So it starts out with tier one emergency workers would be healthcare, law enforcement, emergency responders, things like that. There's also a second tier that's optional for providing child care for the children of people who work for the utility company or they're involved in food distribution and things that are very critical but may not in that first tier. That's optional in the governor's executive order. Our board is choosing to honor that tier two and make that child care available for everybody in tier two. And the board is also choosing to support our recommendation to provide child care for every Hastings Public School employee, because they all do need to report on Monday unless they are in a medically fragile group or a high-risk group or are actually ill. They'll be reporting on Monday, and we want to make sure that they're not worried about their children. They have a place for their children to go. So those three groups are all eligible to register for child care, which would be 8 to 3 every regular school day from Monday until further notice. And they can also do extended child care if they would like to from 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. if they need that. All of it needs to be done by registration, and that's at a link at the school district's website. They can go onto that link and do an electronic registration. And if they do bring their child to Pinecrest, which is where we're going to initially start that program, Pinecrest, we also have the middle school to use if we have more students than we were anticipating, and it could expand to other sites if we have the demand. We've got about 40 people as of last night already registered. So people do have to register either through the digital online registration, or they have to actually come to school and register so that we can prepare for them. So that's the big thing. We also have transportation available for anybody that is a bus rider, normally rides a bus. We make transportation available after they register. They would set up a stop for them to get picked up. And we are providing this emergency care or emergency worker child care for any school-age student who lives in the school district or is an open-rolled into our school district or is an is the child of an employee of the school district. So that would cover homeschoolers, the private schools in our district. All those are eligible for this child care as well if they meet those criteria. So that's one big one. The second part I'll highlight, and then we'll see if there's any follow-up questions. We are also required by the executive order to provide meal service for any student that lives in our district that would like it. So beginning Monday morning, we will be using our school buses from the Hastings Bus Company, and those drivers and some of our other staff, along with staff from the bus company, we'll be out running our regular bus routes every morning from March 23rd until further notice. We'll be running them exactly 2 hours late, so like a two-hour late start. So if a child normally gets picked up at their bus stop at 7:13 a.m., the bus will come by at 9:13 a.m. every day and drop off two meals for every student that's out there, or a family member that's representing the student. They can get two meals. They'll get a lunch for the day and a breakfast for the next day. And they're nutritious meals that have a extended storage life. So they, our goal is to make sure that we're providing food security as this school shutdown potentially goes on longer, and the availability of food at stores and restaurants and things becomes unknown. We have the opportunity to be reimbursed to distribute these meals, and so we're planning on doing that. Any student with special dietary or allergy requirements can contact the school district and let us know, and we'll make sure that we have a customized meal for them on their bus stop. We also have walkers who don't normally ride a bus. They can walk to the high school or middle school, or drive, however, bike, however they want to get there, between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. every day from March 23rd until further notice. There'll be distribution out on the sidewalk. It'll be obvious to be a tent or table set up out there, where they can come by and get two meals per student at the high school or the middle school. And then Kennedy and McAuliffe elementary schools will also have meal pickup available, but they'll actually be the last stop on the bus route. So approximately 10 a.m., we'll dial that in a little bit closer as once we get going here, but at approximately 10 a.m. to approximately 10:30 a.m., there'll be buses parked in the parking lot at Kennedy and McAuliffe that have meals for students to pick up, if that's, you know, the closest place for them to get to. So those are the big things that happen on March 23rd, and we're really, really, really promoting. We want people to take the meals, even if they aren't short of food right now. They have a long shelf life, and they can be used for snacks, for meals, for the weekend. They can be shared with other people who don't have access to food and aren't getting out to buy groceries. We just want to get them out to the community, so we're really encouraging people to do that. And we really think that having a little structure for the students' day, they're supposed to be going to school on March 23rd, and we're not allowed to start any type of school till March 30th. So we want the kids to, you know, have some structure in their day where they get up and go to pick up their meals, or start thinking about getting any materials that they need put together in the event that we do start distance learning on March 30th.
So
that's a lot of stuff, but that's the general gist of it. And what can I help clarify or answer questions on?
Well, basically, then what you're saying then is classroom time, either virtually right now, is then suspended till the 30th, and that's when it's going to pick up if the need arises?
Right. The executive order was that all schools must close by March 18th and remain closed until March 27th. And they were directed, all staff is directed to report and work on the child care, the meals, and preparing for potentially long-term distance learning. So they're not allowed to offer it until potentially March 30th, but they are required to prepare for it. And then we're anticipating that as it gets closer to March 30th, the governor will put out another executive order that says we are now going to distance learning. There's always a chance that they would say resume regular classes. Seems quite unlikely right now, but we know how to go back to regular classes, so that's not a problem.
Right.
What we're preparing for is something that's different than short-term e-learning because of a snow day or even a couple snow days in a row. This is potentially weeks and even the potential of the rest of the school year. We will use distance learning to make sure that kids work on their state standards, that they make progress, that they have things to engage in during the day, help the parents out to give them something for their kids to do. And we would really anticipate that if we do a good job with that, we would be able to end the school year on time or close to on time, have graduation, all those things that are very important to everybody's schedules. And so we're going to prepare to do that. We've already started to prepare, but we can't start until we get the green light from the governor or through, the commissioner of education, who's taken that direction straight from the governor.
Right. So this might be kind of an obvious question, but I'll ask it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Does that then add time onto the end of the school year, or are they suspending the minimum number of days per year for students?
So right now, Hastings is missing 5 days during spring break. I mean, following spring break. Spring break doesn't, you know, was already built into our calendar.
Right.
So the 5 days that we're shut down after spring break, the 23rd to the 27th, they are reducing the number of required days that's in statute by that number of days. Okay. So we're held harmless for the first 5 days. Once we, once March 30th comes, if schools are required to do distance learning, we will get funded by the state for every student that participates each day, just like we would for a regular day when the student participates and is enrolled and is participating in our school. So we would not end up short of days if we do distance learning throughout the rest of the year. The only way that a student could not make progress, not advance to the next grade or earn their diploma, is if they just sat it out and didn't interact with the distance learning. They chose to ignore it. Then they are putting themselves in a tough spot. But otherwise, we will be funded. And like I said, the 5 days that we are missing are going to be removed from the statutory requirement for days of school.
And also, kind of an obvious question, but attendance tracking for distance learning is up and running, and you don't foresee any problems with students coming back later. It's like, I was there, really, I was, you know, that kind of thing.
No, the executive order requires that we have actual interaction with the students, whether it's through a phone, whether it's through email, video conference, assignment completion. In fact, our weather plan for e-learning, we actually keep attendance by when the students turn in their work, we acknowledge that they were present for the day that we gave that work. That won't work in multiple week distance learning plan because, you know, you'll get this delay and you have people who are trapped, you know, out of town or didn't have access to some technology or whatever. So we'll actually have our teachers who are going to be working full days, whether they're on site or they end up working remotely at some times, they'll have actual interaction with the students. And so we will have a system to acknowledge that a teacher had interaction with the student that day, and then they'll be counted as attendance. What we won't be doing is trying to do, like at the high school, if they have to, you know, have to have an attendance at 7 periods per day, we won't be trying to get attendance 7 times a day. We'll just try to make sure that each day that a teacher is interacting with the student and acknowledges that they interacted. So for an elementary school teacher, once a day they'll have 24 students that they need to connect with. For a high school teacher, it's going to be look much different. And so the high school may do something like a morning period where everybody checks in for attendance before they go off to do their individual work. So we're developing that system because it obviously looks different than the weather system, but we've got a 5-day work week next week to fine tune how we're going to do that.
I'd like to thank my guest for this segment of Community In Depth, Dr. Jeff Peshta, the interim superintendent of Hastings Public Schools. You're tuned to KDWA AM 1460, FM 97.7.